cybercrime, macroeconomic conditions, ESG reporting. You can't predict the future, but you can prepare for it. By understanding your risk, you can make your business resilient to challenges on the road ahead. What's more, you can turn those risks into opportunities. EY helps CFOs, boards, and audit committees see beyond the numbers to uncover the critical insights that make their organizations resilient, even in an ever-shifting landscape. For more insights that matter, visit ey.com/beyondthenumbers.
The less your business spends, the more margin you keep. But today, everything costs more. So smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce IT costs, maintenance costs, and manual errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move to NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/earnings. netsuite.com/earnings.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy, of advancing education by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
You're listening to Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Bloomberg Quick Takes Tim Stenovic on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, it's difficult to believe, but it's been almost 21 years since the 9/11 attacks. The New York Stock Exchange earlier taking a moment of silence this morning to commemorate the anniversary. And we're thinking a lot about it as we approach the 21st anniversary on Sunday. Very pleased this afternoon to be joined by Joe Pfeiffer. He's a retired FDNY battalion chief. He's also author of the book, Ordinary Heroes, a memoir of 9/11. Joe joins us this afternoon on the phone from the UN. Joe, good to have you with us this afternoon. How are you?
Good. It's good to be with you.
So you were the first FDNY chief to respond to the 9/11 attacks, and your new book is a memoir and also a tribute to those who died and also those who didn't and survived the attacks. What made you want to write this book now?
I wanted to have some time of reflection, 20 years, and tell people the story of what it was like that day for me, for my firefighters, and for the people that were in the greatest moment of need. And I took the title Ordinary Heroes for a particular reason. Because we think of firefighters as superheroes, but we don't consider ourselves that at all. What I saw that day was my firefighters going up to evacuate the building and to rescue those that were trapped. And they went up doing some ordinary things by telling people who were coming down the same stairs, don't stop, keep going, you can make it out of here. And we know from people who survived that those simple words made a difference.
You know, Joe, I it's just such catastrophic, heartbreaking losses for the fire department that day. I correct me if I'm wrong. I think it was more than 340 firemen lost their lives that day. I can't imagine what it would be like to sit down and write this book. You know, you lost friends, colleagues, people you mentored, I'm sure. Was it a cathartic experience? Did it help you in sort of wrap your head around what happened and your mental state, or was it really painful to do?
Well, it took a long time, and there was some moments of pain, but it was also looking back and finding a sense of hope. So in the darkness of the dust cloud, which we all remember covered lower Manhattan when the buildings collapsed, people also saw on TV the firefighter's helmet. And on our helmets is a little flashlight, so a little beacon of light in the darkness. And I think writing the book allowed me to look at those moments of of hope in the darkest times for us.
You know, one thing that I've been thinking about, Joe, over the last few years when we do get to this anniversary, as I've been reflecting, is that each year more and more people exist who didn't experience it, whether or not they were in California in high school, like was my own situation, or they were in New Jersey and perhaps had friends, parents perish, like some of my friends. And I'm wondering how you think about that. The idea that, you know, I met an intern here at Bloomberg this summer who was, you know, in his early 20s and was born after, you know, 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I mean, how do you think about something like that? Because it was a shared experience for so many people, but that shared experience is kind of getting smaller.
The experience is getting smaller, but what I noticed with writing the book, and I was really surprised, was the amount of emails I got from young people, the 20-year age group.
Wow.
And they said, you know, I wasn't born or I was too young at the time, but I saw the documentaries that I read your book, and I just wanted to tell you that what was done that day helped me go into public service. It inspired me by looking at the documentaries like 9/11 with Jules Sondé. That filmed me, and then to read the book, we'll put it all in perspective for them. So they weren't old enough or born, but they're living the experience in real time now through books and through documentaries, and it's just as personal for them as it was for us 21 years ago.
You know, Joe, obviously here at Bloomberg, we're sort of laser focused on financial markets, and in markets, mm-hmm. whenever there's sort of this unexpected event that really changes everything, you know, they call it a black swan event. And I can't help but mm-hmm. thinking of 9/11 being a black swan event for the whole business and process of fighting fires, you know, something no one in their worst nightmare really expected. And then all of a sudden you're confronted with it in real time, right in front of you. And you have to make split second decisions on what to do about it. I'm wondering what the lessons learned are for the profession of firefighting. Has it changed a lot about how you train and how you think about responding to stuff like this? You know, is there a new paradigm of firefighting that's come out as a result of this?
Firefighting has changed. We look at the threat environment. We're connected to the intelligence community and see what's happening, not only threats in the United States, but also threats around the world. We also work very closely with our law enforcement partners. No longer do we see this separation between fire and police. And particularly in New York, we train together. And we have the police officers run into for an active shooter, for example, we'll run in and engage the shooter. But at the same time, we'll bring in our medical folks, our fire and EMS medical folks, to take care of patients. So we have to depend on each other. And the police also depends on our medics to come in danger to rescue their officers, take care of the medical needs. So a lot of changes.
Joe, you've done so much in the last 20 years. You retired from the FDNY. You wrote this book that you published last year, Ordinary Heroes, a Memoir of 9/11. You're director for crisis leadership at Columbia University. You're a senior fellow at the Harvard Kennedy School and the Combating Terrorism Center at West Point. You also this week participated in the United Nations Global Congress of Victims on Terrorism with UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres. What was that like?
I'm actually at the UN now, and I'm with victims of terrorism throughout the world, and I hear their stories of losing loved ones, their young children, their parents, their friends, and it becomes very real. But the one thing that we realized here at the UN is that we don't ignore the pain of being a victim of terrorism. Instead, what we do is we give it purpose to change the world, to make a difference. Because without a purpose, there is no hope. And without hope, there is no actions. So we're looking at it here at the UN. We're looking to collectively have our voices heard to combat terrorism, and also to support the victims of terrorism and throughout the world.
You know, Joe, one of the most heartbreaking things about 9/11 was that so many firefighters spent so much time digging in the pit, trying to find at first survivors, then remains, and so many of them suffered some health problems later on. Has enough been done for those victims of 9/11, do you think? Is there more that needs to be done?
I think there's always more that needs to be done. And the reality is difficult to comprehend. So in the New York City Fire Department, we lost 343 of our members on 9/11. But post 9/11, we've lost over 280 of our firefighters and EMS personnel that responded that day. And I think, as we look at human rights throughout the world, we have to think about the victims and their families and how do we support them. One is medical assistance, the other is psychosocial assistance, and not just of the people that were there that day, but their families and their children, because the children of victims are also affected. So we have an obligation when a terrorist event occurs to take care of the victims and their families.
Joe Pfeiffer is a retired FDNY battalion chief. He was the first FDNY chief to respond to the 9/11 attacks. His book, Ordinary Heroes, A Memoir of 9/11, it was published last year, the 20th anniversary of 9/11. Joe Pfeiffer is also the director of crisis leadership at Columbia University and a senior fellow at the Harvard Kennedy School and the Combating Terrorism Center at West Point. Joe joined us this afternoon from the UN. Joe, thanks so much. Really appreciate you taking the time.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy, of advancing education by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
Success. It's discipline. It's teamwork. It's the drive and passion inside of us that comes before all recognition. It's the best of each of us made better by the best in all of us. It's what Stifel's been doing for over 130 years. And it's why Stifel is one of the fastest growing global wealth management and investment banking firms in the industry. Stifel. It's where success meets success. Start your journey at Stifel.com. That's Stifel.com.
Stifel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.